Turn to Luke chapter 12. Today, these things here that I'm sharing, just things that the Lord has been showing me and things I've been thinking about the past while for myself. We need to wake up. It's high time to wake out of sleep, Romans tells us. In Luke 12, this is what Jesus says. Look at verse 35. It says, "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately." Look at verse 40. "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." Look at verse 42. "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom the Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Jesus says we need to be ready. We need to be awake. We need to wake up. He says, your loins gird about. The idea, get your belt on. Your light's burning. Have your lamps lit. And you yourselves, you need to be ready. You need to be waiting. Like someone, like a servant waiting for his master that has gone to the wedding and he's coming back, that when he comes to the door, you can open to him immediately, whatever time it may be. Always ready. You say, well, this is written to the Jews, so it's not for us. Well, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul talks about the same thing. He talks about that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. If you look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1, it says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." This is the world, you know. They're looking for peace and safety, and when that comes, then sudden destruction, he says. "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." Where have we heard those things before? Faith, love, and hope. We hear it in 1 Corinthians 13, right? And the greatest of these is charity, he says. But he says we need to be awake, watch, and be sober. Ephesians 5, listen, in verse 15, it says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." Walk circumspectly. There's what words do you think of when you hear the word circumspectly? When I look at it, I see circle, and I see something like spectator, you know, to look around. Look around. That's kind of the idea of the word. Walk circumspectly, meaning you're paying attention, not as fools, but as wise. You get it? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Peter says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." God makes it clear we need to be awake. We need to be thinking. We need to be ready for when the Lord comes back. And we need to be busy. That's the idea. Why do we awake? We're waiting for the Lord. Yes, it's not just occupy till I come and wait for the Lord to come back. But we need to be busy, right? What does John 4 say? Go ahead and turn to John chapter 4. You remember, you probably think when I hear John 4, you think the woman at the well. That's what this passage is. And you remember the disciples, they went to go get food, and Jesus went and he stood by the well and talked with the woman. And after he talked with her, she went to go talk to the men. And as she left, the disciples came back with the food. Look at verse 31. It says, "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat." But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. This is what Jesus said to his disciples. And he says, look into the field. They're white already to harvest. And they say that the Samaritans were white. And as they were coming, he was referencing to them, perhaps. He says, what does Jesus say here? My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And Jesus, as our example, our meat, our food, our reason for being here is to do the will of him that sent us. And we are sent as lights into the world of darkness. You say, well, it's not like that today. You go and talk to somebody about the Lord and they don't want to hear, or they don't care, or they're just whatever. It's like, sure, I'll take the track. And they set it down on the side. It's not really white to harvest. Maybe it's not harvest time. Maybe it's planting time. Brother Hill has been planting, and I helped him a little bit with pumpkins the other day, and they're not up yet. It's planting time. It's not time to harvest, but if we don't plant, there won't be a harvest, right? It's like fishing. If you don't go fishing, you're not going to catch fish. If you don't plant, you shouldn't expect a harvest. And he that soweth sparingly reaps sparingly, right? He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. So if we tell a few people about the Lord, hey, maybe some fruit will come. But if we tell a lot of people about the Lord, we should expect more fruit. That's the law of reaping and sowing. That you reap what you sow. And Jesus, he says in John chapter 9, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Are we all in the world? We're in the world, right? You say, well, you know, I'm 60, I'm 70, I'm 80, I'm whatever, years old. I've spent most of my life. Don't clock out yet. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And we are the light of the world because Jesus is in us if we're saved. And he says, while I'm here, I must do the works of him that sent me. We need to be busy. We need to find something to do for the Lord. What can we do? You know, God has something specific for you, I believe. Some way to function in the church. He's giving you gifts, pastor talks about, right? We looked in Romans, and you see it in Ephesians, and in Corinthians. Talks about the gifts given to the church. But there's things we know we need to do. We need to be giving the gospel. Somebody likened giving the gospel, kind of like weightlifting in a sense. Maybe you're not ready to go outside and street preach, maybe, or maybe just, I don't know, maybe you're not at that level. It's kind of difficult to talk to people sometimes, for me. But we need to be doing it. Say you go home and you go on Amazon, because you buy everything on Amazon now, and you get your personal gym, and you take it and put it in your basement, and you say, you know, I'm going to start working out. You slap 150 pounds on either side on your bench press, and you just start pumping them away, right? Now, that doesn't work that way, does it? Nobody can do that. Why? Your muscles aren't developed. You've got to work your way up to it, right? You might need to start with the 2-pounders. I think you'll probably get more exercise carrying your groceries. But maybe you should do 5 pounds or do 10 pounds. Or you work your way up. Or like push-ups. You don't just start doing 100 push-ups in one sitting. You got to, hey, I can do 5 or I can do 10 or whatever it is. I can't walk 3 miles, but hey, I can go half a mile. So you work your way up. You know, maybe you struggle to talk to people, but maybe you make a goal. Hey, I got to do something for the Lord. I'm going to give one track out this week. That's not that hard. Just give it one track. Surely I'll meet one person in a week that I can give a track to. And so that'll be my goal. Maybe that's where you're at. Hey, maybe you've been doing that. I'll do five tracks. Let's see if I can get five tracks out. You might get to a point where, you know, I don't see six people in a week, maybe. I don't see a lot of people in a week, personally. It might come to a point where I have to go out with the intent to give tracks, you know. It might be, well, I can give tracks out, but I would like to talk to one person, just one person this week, and give them the gospel. Or maybe, you know, we need to be busy for the Lord, whatever it needs to be. Having goals is really, really helpful. Maybe, you know, maybe we just need to start off small and just get a small goal and do something for the Lord. Maybe it's prayer. We can all pray, right? And we all do pray, I'm sure, but maybe we should spend more time. It's easy to say, oh, I've got things to do, so I pray over the list, and we could pray a little longer, a little deeper, a little more specific, and for more people. I don't know what it is, but we need to be busy. Jesus says that he must do the works of him that sent him while it is day. It's still day. As long as you're on this earth, it's still day. It's still time to work. Don't clock out early. So we need to wake up and we need to be busy. But maybe we have a problem with being busy and being awake and being excited about serving the Lord because we're not pure. We need to be pure. We can't be used of God if we're not pure. Listen to what Jesus said to about the Jews. He says, "For this people's heart is waxed gross." He was quoting Isaiah. "Their hearts waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." Their heart is waxed gross. It means, it's kind of the idea of being callous. It's insensitive. I'm guilty of that. I hear preaching every week, more than once, more than twice, more than three times, usually, you know, four times a week. We hear preaching of some kind. Maybe you hear it at home. If you get some messages or you listen to pastor preaching throughout the week, we hear God's word. We read God's word, but it's easy just to hear and not let it affect our hearts, not think about it. Just be calloused in heart, just like the Jews. Their ears are dull of hearing. I've heard that before. He's talking about Jonah. Yeah, and I know. And I know the story, and I know what we're supposed to do. And you're dull of hearing. You're not really listening. And get it. It says that they've closed their eyes. The other ones are passive. They've become dull of hearing. But this one is active. Something they did. They closed their eyes. They have closed their eyes. They've just looked away. That was the Jews, and we can be guilty of that. We've got to be careful that we're pure in heart, that first our heart is sensitive to the Word of God. And if we're not, we need to get in that state, and that means we've got to go to God, like Psalmist does, and that's a really great example. Go to the Psalms. If you're having a problem with having the right heart, I find that I need to go to the Psalms and meditate there, and it teaches me what heart I need to have. You remember Jeremiah 18? Once I start talking about it, you will. God told Jeremiah, "I want you to go down to the potter's house." You probably remember. And he said, "I have something that I want you to tell Israel." So go down to the potter's house. He goes down there, and in the potter's house, he's making pottery. And you've seen the wheels and how they make pottery. And he was making his pottery, and the pottery was marred in the hand of the potter. There was something wrong with it. We talked about this with the youth group a little bit yesterday. There was something wrong with it, so he made a new vessel. And he made something new. And he fixed it because there was something wrong with the first one. And this is what God said. He told Jeremiah to tell to the people. He says, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Cannot I do as this potter?" You look at yourself and you think, I am so far away from what I should be. I am marred in the hand of the potter. Or maybe there's sin in your life and you know it. You're marred in the hand of the potter. You're not where you should be, or there's sin in your life, or whatever reason. You just know there's lack. And God says, can't I, like that potter, make a new vessel? And we know, yes, of course he can. Israel was very wicked. And God said, I want to do this for you. Can I do this? Listen to what Israel said. And they said, there is no hope. But we will walk after our own devices, and we will, everyone, do the imagination of his evil heart. Wow. Listen to that response. God says, can I make you a new vessel? Israel said, no, you can't. They call God a liar. They said, no, you can't. There's no hope. I've talked to people. You give them the gospel and said, oh, I'm beyond that. There's no hope for me now. Call God a liar. That's not true. And, you know, surely there is a point of no return. We don't know where that is. Israel did come to that point. He says, you're going to call unto me and I will not answer. And you're going to go into the captivity. You've been wicked too long. And there was a point. He did leave a remnant, but there was a point. But they weren't at it here. He says, I want to restore you. But he said, there's no hope. We shouldn't call God a liar. You know, maybe we're not a certain way. I just know, you know, I should be a better people person. I should be a better witness. I should be a better encourager. I need to pray more, and I need to do better in my relationships with my family or with other people or whatever the problem it is in your life. God says, you're marred in the hand of the potter, but I want to make a new vessel. Don't say, there's no hope. I'm 70 years old and I can't change now. And that's not right. God says that he can make a new vessel. But this is what God said in response to that, what Israel said, there's no hope, we're going to keep sinning. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen who hath heard such things. Go talk to the really, what we would call, wicked people. Have they ever heard something where God said that I want to make a new vessel, and they say, no, there's no hope. Get it? It says, the virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Wow. They, in rejecting God's grace and his mercy, they've done a very horrible thing, worse than the others. Sin is really, really dangerous for everybody, but for the Christian, it's like cutting off your legs. You can't do anything. You remember Joshua. Well, you remember before Moses and how he sent the 12 spies, and there were two good ones, Joshua and Caleb. They were the only ones. Everybody else said, we can't do it. We can't do it. They said, we can do it because the Lord said we can. Well, that generation died, and Joshua is now the leader. They go in. The Lord says, take Jericho. Go do it. I'm with you. I want to give you the land. Just go do it. And so they did. Nobody died when they fought against Jericho. You remember they circled around the cities? Great. Let's go to the next city. So they go to the next city. And hey, look, this is a smaller city than Jericho. We don't even need as many men. We got a little confident here. And so let's just take a few guys out there and we'll go and take it. So they go and they take it. And listen to what happened at this battle. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. For they chased them from before the gate even unto Sheberim. And smote them in the going down, whereof the hearts of the people melted and became as water. I mean, think about that. Think about that. You'd be very disappointed. God said, take the city, and God said that we could do it, and we went to do it, and we didn't do it. Sounds like God's not faithful, doesn't it? Sounds like God didn't do what he said he was going to do. Sometimes we feel that way, maybe. This is what the Bible said. I'm just trying to obey the Bible, and it's not working. But there's a problem. There's a problem. What's the problem? Well, if we back up to verse 1, it says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabadi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Do you remember Achan, one guy, he went at Jericho and said, hey, I want some of the spoils. God says, the first city is for me. I get all the spoils. The law of the first fruits. That's why we give to the Lord the first fruits of what he's given us. But he stole from God, and God said, Israel has sinned against me. You know, one person can affect the church. One person that's living in known sin, that can hinder the blessing of the church. We've got to be very careful. The anger of the Lord was against him. It wasn't because God wasn't faithful. That's not the case. God always does what he says he will do. If there's a problem, If you say, this is what the Bible says, and we're trying to do it, and it's not working, we don't have to search out God. What's wrong with God? We need to look at ourselves. What's going on here? What are we not understanding, or what sin is in our hearts? And we've got to be very careful to be pure from sin if we want God's blessing. Remember, we've had the exchange, and there was a principle that was taught. God cannot tolerate sin, right? And because of that, everyone will go to hell. But you say, hey, I've been saved. I have Christ's righteousness. But the fact is still the same. God cannot tolerate sin. Did you know that? It doesn't change now that you're saved. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, he says. No, don't sin. It's not okay now. Oh, it's been paid for. It's okay. No, that's wrong. So if what we do is mixed with sin, God can't bless what we do, even if it's a good thing. You remember 2 Corinthians. He says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Touch not the unclean thing, and then I will receive you. Psalms. Who's going to come before the Lord? He that hath clean hands. He's not a respecter of persons. We've got to have clean hands. You know, at best, we can be partially blessed. You know, maybe we're doing the right thing, but we're not quite right in our heart. Whatever it is, there's pride, there's this, or we're doing something that's not right. At best, we could be partially blessed, but we'll miss out on what God could have done. You remember the story of Jehoshaphat? I was reminded. We talked about this with the youth group last week, Friday. Jehoshaphat, amazing story. I was reminded of it. And he really served the Lord. He followed the Lord. He followed in the ways of David, that David did at the first, the Bible says. And he set up judges in the land to judge righteously. He was zealous for the Lord. But he linked arms with Ahab, very wicked guy. And hey, Ahab says, hey, Syria has captured this place, and you know we ought to get it, and we ought to take it back. And he says, I'm as your people, and thy people are as my people, and sure, let's go do it. And he linked arms with very wicked Ahab, and they went and fought. And you remember Ahab dies in that battle. And then a prophet came to him and said, you did wrong. Should you help the wicked people who I hate? He did very wrong. And God says, therefore is the wrath of God upon you. Yet because I've seen good and that you've got rid of the wickedness of Israel, that God wouldn't depart from him. But God's wrath was upon him. And I don't know if it was for this reason, but Moab and Ammon, a little later, came up against Judah. So we have the scenario. You have the southern tribe, Jehoshaphat's the king, and Moab over here in Ammon, they get together, and it says others too with Ammon, came together to fight against Judah and Jehoshaphat. But he went to the Lord. It's kind of amazing when you read it. It's just kind of, it would be neat to be there. All of Israel, or all of Jerusalem, you have the men, their wives, and their children. Everybody's together. Jehoshaphat's there in the midst of the congregation. He's praying unto the Lord, and he's just pouring out his heart. Lord, neither know we what to do. We are trusting you. Please do something. Please help us. And as this happens, the word of the Lord comes to somebody, just a man standing there. He was happened to be one of the sons of Asaph down the line. And he said, listen, Jehoshaphat and Jerusalem and Judah, I will fight the battle. You won't have to fight at all. I will do it all. And so that was great. They were there all together, and Jehoshaphat had the singers just sing right there. We're going to praise the Lord, and they praised the Lord. The next morning, they got up early. Jehoshaphat talked to the people and said, don't fear, trust the Lord, trust the word of the Lord, that he is going to do the fighting. We don't have to do any of it. He appointed singers, too. And so they sang as they went to go see the battle. Moab and Ammon get together, and what does God do? God causes them to fight each other. They fight each other, and they kill each other so that not one escapes. You see how God works. Isn't it amazing? And they praise the Lord. They're singing to the Lord, and they go to the spoil. They go down there, and they're getting up the spoil, and there was too much. They couldn't get it at once, you know? And so it took them 3 days to get all the spoil. When Jehoshaphat humbled himself and followed the Lord, God blessed him greatly. He didn't even have to fight. Just go get the spoils. Isn't that great? That is great. Now, let's see. Here it is. A little bit later, in fact, it's just 9 verses later, after that victory and the spoils, 9 verses later in the scripture, 2 Chronicles 20, it says, "And after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships in Zion-Geber. Then Eliezer, the son of Dodava of Meresha, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, 'Because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works,' and the ships were broken, and they were not able to go to Tarshish." You say, Jehoshaphat was a pretty good guy. He's got to see the Lord do some pretty amazing things. The Lord blessed him greatly, and that's great. But God's not a respecter of persons. If there's sin, and he joined himself again with the son of Ahab, God already told him that that was wrong, but he did it again. He said, "Hey, we're going to get together, and we're going to go to Tarshish, and we're going to get some goods, and it'll be great for both of us." He was willing to join with the wicked people, and God judged him for it. He lost out in blessing that he could have had if he would have trusted the Lord, if he would have stayed away from sin. What am I saying? God can't tolerate sin, right? We've got to be pure. We need to be pure. God wants to make a new vessel out of us, and he can. And remember, the sin of one can affect many. We're not an island to ourselves. If there's sin in the camp, you know, God is blessing the church. I don't know if you're realizing it. Maybe we should say that more often. God has blessed our church. In recent years, we're seeing people get saved, people joining the church, visitors coming and staying. We've seen so many people joining the Bible clubs. We hear reports from the Bible studies. We hear reports from the newspaper. We hear how God is doing it across the world, across America, in different states. It's just, wow. That's the Lord. That's not us. That's the Lord doing a great work. But what if he could do more? Of course God could do more. Why doesn't he do more? What? Maybe there's something wrong. I don't know. We have to search ourselves. Is there sin in the camp? We don't want to be like Ai, the battle there in Achan. God can't tolerate sin. So if we're pure, though, it's time to wake up. It's time to get up and say, I need to be ready. The Lord's coming back. Don't clock out yet. Don't say, I've lived most of my life, and I'll just kind of put around and do my thing. No, Jesus did the works of God until he died. And we need to be busy. Jesus says, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I live in the world, I am the light of the world. Serving the Lord is not for the young people. It's not for the old people. It's not for children or... It's for everybody. Serving the Lord's for everybody. Doesn't matter the age group. Doesn't matter what it is. If you're saved, God's given us something to do. We need to be busy. We need to be awake. We need to be busy. And it's really important. We can't do those things if we're not pure. There's some things that the Lord is showing me and working in my heart. It's hard sometimes to fight the flesh, but we've got to. We've got to be in the battle. If you're not in the battle, you're just going downstream and you've lost already. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for, Lord, the grace and power that you give and you make available to us. Help us not to thrust it away because of ourselves, our selfishness, or whatever it is. We pray for your blessing upon us, Lord. We do seek it. We pray that you would search our hearts as we search our own hearts to see if there's sin in our life. That we would be pure unto you and that we'd give you much pleasure. We pray for the service to come, that you'd bless it, that you would be honored and glorified by all things. And we pray for pastor, you give him freedom to speak and a clear mind. And help us, Lord, not to be dull of hearing, not to have a gross, indifferent heart, but to be ready to receive what you have for us. And we know and we trust that you do have something for us. And we thank you for what you've given us. Bless us now, we pray. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.